This week on the Unabated Podcast, Jack is back, but this time we're taking things to the tables as Colin Jones of Blackjack Apprenticeship sits down with us to talk about card counting and more. It's a great show. Let's get to it. Hello, everyone, and welcome on into the Unabated Podcast. I'm Thomas Viola, and back from SBC and back on the show, Mr. Unabated himself, Captain Jack Andrews. Jack, how are you doing? Did you enjoy your time up in New York?
Yeah, well, this is actually my first episode in like 3 weeks because I was away on vacation before Gina's incredible interview with Matt Davidow. If people haven't listened to that, that was really strong. And then last week, you had Peter Jennings and Galin, and you guys crushed it on WNBA talk. I learned a couple things there. So I feel like, sorry, folks, I'm back. He had some really good episodes in my absence.
But hey, we gotta keep swinging. That's what we gotta do. We gotta keep swinging for the fences, even while you're not here to be the DH. But yeah, especially last week, the WNBA talk. I very weird listening to your own podcast, but listening back to the Gina episode, yes, you listen to that interview with David Albies. That was absolutely phenomenal. And then last week, Peter and Glenn were great on WNBA because, hey, that season's getting started tomorrow when we're recording this, probably today by the time you're listening to this, or even yesterday if you're listening to this a little bit later. But you can still take advantage of the great tools that we have. We have a great deal going on right now for WNBA, don't we?
Yeah, this is a super strong deal. And I realize that gets the summer months, people are like, you know what, I'm just going to wait till football to subscribe to Unabated. But there's a really good reason. There's actually multiple good reasons here to take advantage of this deal. If you're not already a subscriber, yes, MLB, baseball, we got props. We got props out the wazoo this year. We got some new ways to look at props. We, of course, got top down. We got a real-time odds screen for all your baseball betting. But then WNBA, like we identified last week, there's definitely some inefficiencies in this market you could take advantage of. We have a great history with our prop projections. I really believe $125 a month for Unabated is a steal. But beyond MLB and beyond WNBA, it's NFL season win season. And this is something guys continually crush on our platform with our NFL simulator when it comes to these NFL season wins. The schedule comes out this week. We won't have the simulator ready this week, but this is when we start putting it together. The market, we need some lines to come out from different sports books to build the market-based projections. But then if you have your own projections or if you find somebody that puts out early numbers, you can use that to price out not only season wins, but alt season wins. You can price out exotics, like who will be the, who will have the worst record and, what are the chances of this team winning the division, winning the conference, winning the Super Bowl? There are so many different NFL season-long bets that you can make this summer. Everyone's going to be talking about them. This is still undisputed the best tool out there to crush NFL season markets. And it kind of goes by the wayside each year. People just don't talk about it much. But guys, subscribe to the full package of Unabated just for this single tool. So this gets you that through the summer. Get you the bridge to the NFL. And, slight spoiler alert, we'll have a deal when the NFL gets down to business. And this bridges you to that deal. So it's like you're getting Unabated pretty cheap. There's a lot to take advantage of here. And it starts with this deal right now, which ends this week.
Yeah, so go and take advantage of that as soon as you can. Meanwhile, I will say that Unabated Season Simulator, 2 years ago, I picked up Eagles 18-1 to be the one seed in the NFC. I'm excited to take advantage of the Season Simulator even more this year. I finally have a nice little portion of my bankroll that I want to put aside just to say, okay, these are my win totals and this is my deposit and I'm going to get this back at the end of the season. But very much looking forward to that. But today, we're talking about something a little bit different here on the show, Jack. We are not going to be talking as much about sports betting the rest of this podcast. Instead, we're going to be hitting the tables. We've got Colin Jones of Blackjack Apprenticeship coming on to talk to us all about card counting and blackjack, how he got his start, and everything in between.
Yeah, this is an episode I've wanted to do for a while. Look, I come from the casino AP world. That's where I cut my teeth with gambling. That's where I made a lot of money building a bankroll. And Colin is one of those key guys in this that everybody respects. And he's got some very great tools at his website. He's also a very easy to understand person speaking about it. He's got a book, 21st Century Card Counter, which I think is tremendous. You can learn a lot from Colin. And there's a lot of sports bettors out there that look across the aisle to Casino AP and go, what are they all doing over there? How can I get involved in that? What do I need to sprinkle a little bit of that side hustle into my sports betting game? Can I? So I think we answer a lot of those questions in this episode. So let's get to it.
And now, everybody, welcome on into the show, Colin Jones, founder of Blackjack Apprenticeship. Colin, thank you so much for being with us here today. It is great to have you on.
Yeah, my pleasure to be here with you guys.
So, our audience may not be familiar with you, although I know from personal experience with the amount of demos that I do with people that are coming into Unabated who tell me, yeah, I saw you guys from Jack's video or Gina's video on the BGA YouTube channel. But for those that may not be familiar, give us the abridged version of your journey in Advantage Play.
Yep. So I studied math in college and graduated and had really no idea what I wanted to do. And I was kind of bumming around and volunteering at a summer camp that I grew up going to. And a friend said, "Hey, you're a math guy. Check out this book I'm reading." And it was called Professional Blackjack by Stanford Wong. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm teaching myself how to count cards." He'd been kind of into poker and stumbled across the book at Barnes and Noble or something like that. And he loaned it to me, highlighted the chapters I should read. And I was like, "Oh, I could. Probably, it sounds like math. I could probably do this. I did well at math in college." We started kind of training together a little bit and there's all these mom and pop casinos in Seattle. We started playing it at those, and we, long story short, got good enough at it that it was what we did full time for a couple of years. And in those couple of years, we had this small 3 to 4 man team that won about $500,000 from, we started with 11,000, and grew it to about $500,000. And then that turned into the two of us that first got into it, starting a larger team that was called the Church Team. And it's been in a documentary and some people have heard of it. That team won about $3.5 million. And so that's what I did professionally for a decade. And then somewhere in there, we started training other people online to do it. And that's the story.
Now, this next one feels like a little bit of a loaded question since obviously you are training people to count cards, but is card counting still a viable path in today's casino landscape?
Yeah, it depends on the casino. Probably same as it depends on the sports book for you all. But there's so many casinos. If you're in the US, man, I just did the research. I wish I could remember, but there are something like over 500 casinos in the US and Canada with beatable blackjack games. The vast majority of casinos do have a beatable blackjack game, though, just like with sports betting, different games, different casinos offer better or worse games, and it's up to you to find the good ones and exploit them appropriately.
Now, without trying to get too bogged down in the details, what makes a blackjack game beatable?
The main things are the house edge. And so as there are more casinos than ever, there's also things going against us, like them offering worse rules than they used to 10, 20, in the early days. In the beginning, it was one deck dealt to the last card. Well, so the rules, but also how much they deal. If it's dealt to the last card, you would know if the last card is, favorable or unfavorable. Well, now they cut off a deck or two decks, or God forbid, three decks, and that has a huge impact on how much you can win, also how much you can bet. Same with sports. If you can't put much money down, you can't make a whole lot.
Yeah, obviously, Colin, I was a card counter long before I was a sports bettor. Card counting was my gateway drug into this entire world. And I remember putting in so much time and effort into practicing my card counting. I was like, dealing myself at the kitchen table, which is literally what was going on. I was like spreading out a felt on the kitchen table and dealing myself hand after hand after hand. Is it still that way? Because this is like the late 90s that I was doing all this. Is that still how people practice, and how much time and effort goes into being a competent card counter these days?
Yeah, there's a lot more resources than there were back then. I was the same thing. I, counted through a deck of cards, and then I found some free online casino software. You weren't actually betting online. It was kind of to get you hooked, I think, on playing blackjack or whatever. But I would use that, and it didn't tell me if I was making mistakes, and I'm sure I was making tons of them, but that's how I trained. Well, now, gosh, we've got native apps, we've got website with all this training software, and there's another company, QFIT. They make some Windows-based training software, and so I would say with software, it's a lot more efficient. You can practice far more hands in an hour than dealing to yourself. But at some point, you do have to get used to the real cards and the payouts and all the things that happen in a real casino, and then you have to take it from your dining room table to in a real casino and do it perfectly. And then it gets to the real fun part, which is how do you get the hours in? How do you get away with it? All that stuff. So yeah, far more resources than there used to be, but it's still plus one and minus one, the same stuff you were probably, learning back when you were getting into it.
Yeah. So, but in terms of hours, because a lot of our sports bettors that are on unabated or listening to this podcast, maybe if they're not even members, where they feel like sports betting is a lot of their time already. And I'm sure some of them look at casino AP stuff, and they've heard stories from me and other people and Gina, and they say, oh, maybe I could add that in. Is it possible to add it in as like a side hustle?
It is, but our rough number that we've used for a long time, and I've actually had people time themselves with training, and it seems to stand up, is about 200 hours of time to become perfect. I would say after 100 hours, you think you're pretty good, and then it takes another 100 to get to perfect. And you got to be perfect. I mean, you got to be very close to perfect at it, or else you're going to be losing money. And for every winning card counter, there's 100 air quotes card counters that got to 97% or 98%, and they're just, they're getting all the bad parts of card counting. They're getting backed off. They're having the streaks, the winning streaks, losing streaks, all that stuff, but they're not getting all the profits.
Absolutely. That goes with some sports bettors as well, but I think card counting was the one activity I did along the way where if you're not robot perfect, if you're not, if you decide like, oh, I'm just going to play through this negative count, even though I should have left the table, that just eats away at all your edge. Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the skill sets involved, because again, this is our audience coming from a sports betting background. What are some of the skill sets that make for a good card counter or casino AP?
Yeah, like we already said, you have to master the skill. And some people just don't have that personality where they're going to grind until they get there. A lot of people head to the casino too soon and they blow their bankroll because they weren't ready. But mastering the skill is, it's the first step. Also, you have to be able to handle stressful situations. You have to handle the heat at the casino, or the dealer not liking you, or a pit boss breathing down your neck, or getting backed off, or the financial swings, the emotional swings, all that. And some people don't have the temperament for it. And I'm sure it's the same with sports betting. I've got friends that are putting a lot of time into sports betting, and they say, with blackjack, I could play so many hands per hour. I can only play so many bets. And so, like waiting on, is it going to pay off with blackjack? At least, right away. But in both situations there, you got to have some emotional fortitude. And then you also need the ability to develop some sort of a decent act. You don't have to, be an amazing actor, but if you look like a robot at the table, the amount of time you're going to get in at the casinos is going to be far less. I know that's the same with sports betting too. It's one thing to get the edge, it's another to be able to bet it.
That is so important. You can get a bigger edge at sports betting, but you have so much fewer bets per hour than you do at card counting, where you could have 70 to 100 bets an hour, and about 27% of them might be at a positive count. And I'm going back to like 20 years of my reading professional blackjack to kind of come up with those numbers. But the amount of opportunities you have to manifest your edge at card counting, even though it's a smaller edge, is much greater than sports betting.
Yep.
And it really does show just the law of large numbers in effect, because with sports bet, I mean, we always talk about how volume is your friend when it comes to sports, but you just get so much more volume down when it comes to card counting, and you're able to grind out those smaller edges there.
So one of the things that you started, I forget how many years ago it was. It's at least about 10 years, right? You started Blackjack Apprenticeship. So tell us a little bit about Blackjack Apprenticeship and how that's kind of speeding people along the learning curve.
Yeah, it was actually at the height of running our team. And it wasn't my idea. It was my co-manager, Ben, and then another guy that was on our team, John Collins. And John, he's a genius. He started a lot of really cool things. But he was like, hey, you know, I can put together kind of what you train all of us to do, put it online. And we had friends that were getting into internet business stuff, and they both thought it was a great idea. And I was like, okay, sure. You know, we're not going to be running a team forever. So that was in 2008 that we launched it, and we tried to have it ready in time for 21, the movie, to come out. And we were like a month behind, but kind of rode that early wave of 21, the movie, coming out. But over however many years that's been, 16 years, it's just been continually trying to serve, you know, people that want to beat casinos with card counting and advantage play, and developing a community of people that are passionate about it. And, you know, there's nothing more thrilling than hearing from people that have come through Blackjack Apprenticeship that they're crushing casinos.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be just absolutely fantastic to know. I know from personal experience here with these success stories we get from Unabated, of people saying, hey, these tools actually really do help us. I feel like I'm a better better because of the stuff that I have here. So I absolutely can relate to that feeling. But when it comes to, we've talked a lot about the similarities between sports betting and blackjack and card counting. A lot of the art of sports betting these days, as we've mentioned, it's keeping accounts alive or avoiding detection while you're in casinos. Do you think these skills translate well to card counting and other forms of AP? Are there any other sports betting skills that you think translate well? Because I know that there's certainly plenty of crossover.
Yeah, it's a little similar to what I've said before, but really consistently finding and maintaining the edge is important. The best card counters I know, they'll pass up a game that's mediocre because they want to play high quality games. But and that also means their skills have to always stay sharp, that they're not, you know, playing past their fatigue and making bad decisions at the table, all of that stuff. You know, finding, maintaining those edges. And, you know, some of these guys, it's incredible what they've done. They, you know, I get to live vicariously through them, but they'll find some place that, you know, that they absolutely crush, but it took effort to find that place and to make it last. The other thing I'd say is thick skin. You got to have thick skin being a card counter, because you know, it'll wear you out before you run out of places to play. I guarantee you'll be sick of blackjack before you can't play blackjack.
Yeah, I think that's a very important thing to state. I always like to say that learning to lose is more important than learning how to win, because you need to be able to understand the grind and the variance and how that's going to play against your emotions. And especially with card counting, where it's one of these things that everybody knows the casino doesn't like it. At least with sports betting, we know there are some sports books that tolerate sharp action. We know there are exchanges where we don't have to risk getting backed off. But there's no casino I know of that is like, card counters welcome, come on in, count whatever system you want to use. Right? There's none out there that have ever stated that, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Every casino has a threshold. And you know, you go into Circus, their threshold might be, you know, betting $50. Another place, it might be winning 100 grand. And they're never going to tell you their threshold. You're going to find out. But yeah, there's no casino without a threshold where they're going to say, you know what, we don't. There was a casino in Yakima, Washington, that our team was playing, and it was like a different person drove out there every week and would play 3 or 4 days straight, like 12-hour days. And they said to one of the guys on our team, like, oh, we're not even worried about table games. We make so much money from slot machines, we don't care. Well, when we had beaten that casino for $500,000, they cared. You know, like, they had a threshold. It just took a while for them to say, okay, enough's enough.
Yeah, no, okay, I can understand that. So, Colin, anytime that Advantage players get together, we tend to talk about how good something was. We talk about like, oh, it's not as good as it was back then. It's not as good as it, remember when we had that game and you were talking about those mom and pop casinos in Washington that have started to really consolidate over the years. But at the same time, I still feel like new opportunities pop up all the time. I was just at a sports betting conference for a week, the industry side, and I could come up in my head with all these new things that are coming out, new ways that I could beat that, new opportunity. How do you feel about casino AP? Are the best times behind us, or are there still new opportunities popping up?
Yeah, I feel that same thing because I can't help but compare it to when I was playing full time, which was now like 20 years ago when I was my most active, played 1,000 hour, over 1,000 hours in a year, a couple of years in a row. And there were some casinos that really just let us play a ton, or and then those casinos, we took too much and they changed their tune. And so I can feel that. And I keep thinking the days of beating a single casino for six figures are behind us, or the days of making seven figures just from card counting are behind us. And then someone proves me wrong. I know three, well, two individuals and a team that in the last couple of months crossed the seven figure mark, just from card counting. We did a podcast with two of them, if people want to listen to, or with two of these guys. That cross the seven figure mark for their personal wins, with very different approaches, interestingly enough. But, so it's still happening. And it's always interesting for me to listen to Tommy Hyland. He's been a professional card counter for 45 years. And he says that it's really hard to say if it's better or worse now. You could make a strong argument for either side, that there were games like Early Surrender in Atlantic City where you had an edge off the top. However, now that, but if you got, booted from the handful of casinos in Atlantic City and Vegas, and they would get arrested like regularly in Atlantic City, it was just a part of the job, was getting arrested for coming back to a casino that kicked you off, because they're kicked you out because there are only so many casinos. It's like, well, when you lose those casinos in Vegas and AC, what do you do? Well, now there's so many casinos. And then when you add in the other Advantage Play opportunities, like if you want to be a pro, I'd say learn multiple things. And most people start with card counting. And like I said, these guys are making seven figures with just that. But there's other things. There are things that have totally disappeared that you could make good money at as an AP 20 years ago, and it's going to be hard to find. And then there are things that either are new opportunities that didn't exist, or kind of cyclical things that people were doing that kind of disappeared and then come back again. And so my friends that are playing full time, they're, to be honest, a lot of them are making more money than I am, just beating casinos. So I think the future is bright, but you always have to, it's the cat and mouse game. You have to stay ahead or get ahead of the casino and react. If you're a one trick pony, if you're like, oh, I got my local casino letting me count cards. Well, what are you gonna do when that's gone? But if you're willing to keep finding and fighting for edges, I think there's plenty of opportunity.
The opportunity isn't just in trying to fight and find the edges, but it's also in, like we've talked about already, with all the different ways that you can train now and the ways that you can get better and the access to information. And a big part of that, you've got a YouTube channel with 500,000 subscribers. Like, how do you attribute that huge following and that success to? Is it that people are just that hungry to count cards?
Well, I'd say we've been at it for a long time. We started the YouTube channel in 2008, and we had the number one YouTube video for how to count cards in 2008. So we've been at it for a while. But secondly, just like with sports, there are a lot of people that want to figure out a way to make money, playing blackjack or betting sports. I was looking it up, and there's like over a million copies of Beat the Dealer have sold. And when you consider all the blackjack books, millions of copies have sold. Does that mean millions of card counters? Absolutely not. There's like an intrigue to it, of which, some people do take it seriously. And that's more what our website is about, is training the people that are serious about it. The YouTube channel is, I'd say we've approached it like a card counter. We've said, how do you generate EV on YouTube? And kind of no ego involved, just like what are the things we need to do? And we do it. Now, there's a threshold, because the world only needs so many card counters. So, you know, we're careful how much we put out there, but with what we're comfortable putting out there. And I get a lot of feedback from professional APs like, hey, what's too much? And as long as it's not too much, we just try to generate EV on YouTube, and it seems to have worked over the years.
Now, you guys also have a little bit of a charitable side to everything. Tell us a little bit about the Freedom 5K and what you're doing there.
Yeah, this is something my family's done for 8 years. We run this 5K. There's a friend of mine, she, for her 40th birthday, wanted to raise $40,000 to stop child trafficking. And she did it. Like, she got on local news, and she's a total badass. And I was like, that's cool. My family, I had young kids at the time. I was like, I can push them in a jogging stroller, and we could try to raise some money. It's just become an annual thing that our whole family, you know, gets behind. And, you know, it's really horrific, you know, child trafficking and you know, the two things that work the best are education, just letting families know, hey, these people offering your daughter a job in the big city, this is, you know, in Asia and, you know, around the world, they're not offering a job, you know, don't, it sounds like this will be a great opportunity for your family. It's not. The other is simple things like, if you can keep a girl in school, then she's far less likely to end up being trafficked. And to go to school, they need shoes. So they can provide shoes for girls so that they can stay in school, so they can get an education. And it's very simple things, but it just feels like something, you know, our family can do about something that we're so thankful that our kids are free from something like that. And yeah.
Now, if people want to support that real quick, Jack, people want to support that, is there a link that they can go to? Hint, hint, we'll put it in the description of this video too for you to check out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'd love it. Any dollar someone wants to contribute to stop child trafficking is awesome. And we give what we can too.
Yeah. You know, I just want to kind of put an exclamation point on this. I feel like a lot of times professional gamblers, amateur gamblers, aspiring gamblers, like listen to this podcast, often feel a little bit of a debt because we take and we don't give. And this is an opportunity to give back as a better or as a gambler. You know, Colin is one of the nicest guys I've ever met in this business. And I've, like, you know, it's, that's saying a lot. And I've supported this in the past. I'm going to support him again with this. I think this is a great opportunity. If you're feeling a little bit of guilt sometimes about how much money you're making and you're not really giving back to society, this is something that's making a clear difference in the world. And Colin's putting his family out there to support it. And I have no trouble supporting Colin in this endeavor. So hopefully people will click the link in the description that we'll put in here and give something. I think an example of your little video that you created with your family, which is very creative, by the way, those are very creative. You said $25 saved one person. And I, you know, who can't afford to give $25 to this or more? So hopefully people follow that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Colin, thank you so much for being with us here today. Of course, if people want to find you and all of the awesome stuff that you're doing, where should they find, where should they go?
YouTube channel is a good place to start. BJA videos, or just type in card counting and you should find us. That's a good place to start. And we have a podcast too, if people just want to hear interviews with people that are doing it, to get kind of like the real picture of what it is rather than the, you know, Hollywood picture that people might have in their minds.
And very important there, he said BJA videos for Blackjack Apprenticeship. If you put in the other thing, you're going to get a completely different set of search results. Just be aware of that, guys. BJA videos there.
Just type in Blackjack Apprenticeship on YouTube. Yes.
Yeah, look for Blackjack Apprenticeship on YouTube. You can check out Colin on Twitter as well at Colin Cobra Jones. Guys, thank you so much for being here with me as always. Colin, it has been a pleasure having you on. We'll have to have you back real soon, and I hope to see you next time you're out in Vegas. But for now, that is going to do it for us here on the pod. You guys know the drill, the whole rigmarole. Give us that 5-star rating, leave us a review. You know what? I'm going to be looking in. If someone leave a review, screenshot it, tweet it at me at TV at Work, I'll send somebody a t-shirt for this. Thanks for making it through the entire episode, guys. Now, also hit that subscribe button if you're here on YouTube. And as always, check us out at unabated.com. You can check out Blackjack Apprenticeship. You can check us out. All those links are going to be in the description below. If you want a one-on-one demo of Unabated, use that link in the description below. Sign up. You're going to be meeting with me personally to talk through the tools and all that we can do to help you on the sports betting side. And if you decide, you know what, I'm feeling some casino AP, I want to get in and get on some table games, head on over to blackjackapprenticeship.com as well. Colin, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you guys next week. As always, best of luck, and let's cash some tickets.